might as well have guessed, we are back in John. We've been studying the book of John, and of course we only left John and went to some of the other scriptures during the holidays, but we're back in John, and we're starting chapter 15. We're getting into some exciting stuff here. Easter's just ahead of us, not that far, and we're seeing the Lord getting ready and preparing for what's going to take place, trying to prepare his disciples for what's going to take place, because it's going to be very difficult for them to understand. And so if you're going to follow along in the Word, why, open your Bibles to 15 verses 1 through 14, because those are the verses we're going to look at. And we're going to just look at a few today, and then we'll look at more next week and go more as we go forward. The last chapter, the 14th chapter, ended with the Lord Jesus Christ arising from the table, the Last Supper, and saying, "Arise, let us go hence." And they're to go out of the room where they had the Last Supper, where he's been teaching them some things about himself, and where Judas was discovered, and we had that story, and many other ways that he taught them about the fact that he was going to go away. He was going to go away, and he needed to go away. And the reason he needed to go away, because if he didn't go away, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he let them understand that it was a must, that he must go away. And then he would send the Comforter, who would teach us all things concerning what Christ taught and who Christ was. So that brings us to the first part of chapter 15. And this chapter's theme is Christ the Vine. Christ the Vine. When we talk about vines and branches and all the rest of it, in the context of the New Testament, we're talking about grapevines. We're talking about vines from which the fruit would grow and from which there would be a lot of signs of life, okay? I always like to ask this question, and then you have to answer it, I don't have to answer it. It's between you and God, but I would ask, how many signs of life? Now, I'm talking about your faith now, your Christian faith, your Christian walk, your Christian life. How many signs of life are there in your life? How much fruit? Are you laden down to where you can't hardly walk? You've got so much fruit? Or is there room for some more fruit, room for some more growth? For most of us, that's the case. And we continue to grow in that relationship with Christ and let him then nourish us, and that we might bear the kind of fruit that he talks about. Some believe that this story about the vine and the branches came from the temple as he passed it, because on the doors of the temple were engraved the golden vine on the doors. And they may have seen that, and maybe that's what Jesus used as an example to get this thing started. Others think that maybe he was prompted to give this object lesson about the vine because he saw a vineyard outside as they went outside and started toward the garden where he would pray in Garden of Gethsemane. Or maybe it was a decoration in the room where they were seated to have the Last Supper. It could be that there were vines on the columns and the walls, and that was very common back in some of those rooms. The whole point is, we don't know. We don't know what started it. We only know that the Lord saw that it was necessary to talk about it with his disciples prior to going to Gethsemane and prior to the cross. Personally, I believe he went to the Garden of Gethsemane by the way of a vineyard outside the city. And as he saw that vineyard, he was well aware that the Jews understood the lessons about the vine, because the whole Old Testament constantly talked about God looking at Israel as the vine. Sometimes the vine was prosperous and had luscious fruit and had wonderful fruit. Other times it was barren. And it wasn't bearing anything. And so he talked to them about that in the Old Testament. God often talk to them in that kind of a relationship. So in the Old Testament, Israel was often called the unfruitful vine. They just weren't producing what it should have been producing. Some have said that Israel was God's 12 acres. 12 tribes of Israel were God's 12 acres. And he cultivated them and he plowed them under. And then they would seed them and they would grow and then they would cultivate them again and plow them under. Each time that there were tares that would come up, each time that there was unfruitful vines that would come up, he continued to cultivate them in order that they might bear fruit for him in a world that needed to see it. They were the object lesson. And so talking to these disciples and those around him about this made it very common language. It was a very easy language to understand for them. They could get the picture. They could see what it was all around. You know, you cannot read the Old Testament without recognizing that God looked upon Israel as the vine. And so Psalms 80 speaks of the fact that the Lord brought the vine out of Egypt and that he pushed the vine, or actually planted it in Canaan first, and then he took care of it himself and he helped it to flourish. He did that by providing for them again and again, over and over, blessing them again and again. And each time it was this whole thing, is that would they bear fruit? So then Israel rebelled against the Lord and he went to look for fruit, couldn't find any of the right kind, so he pushed the vine to one side. And you see, that's the story that Jesus is getting to here. He uses this illustration in John 15 to speak prophetically of the fact that God was going to put Israel to one side for a while and that he would find his fruitage elsewhere, namely within the church of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus here then brings us to see what that life is all about. Life in union with the vine. We cannot study the book of John without constantly seeing this union being brought into play. We're going to see it again in chapter 17. This idea that we are one, we are all one with Christ. God is one with Christ, Christ is one with God, and we are one with them. This union is unique. And it is to be profitable, and it is to be fruitful as we walk with his life in us being lived out by the Holy Spirit. Now, the bottom line here is, in 15, he likens it to a vine, to the branches, and to the fruit. All right? And I want to read verses 1 through 14. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. All right, that brings us to the end of verse 14 there. Now, I want to take this slowly because I want us to understand it, this whole idea of the true vine and the Father as the vine dresser to begin with in verses 1 through 14. Verse 1, I am the true vine, he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. The Lord here is pictured as the true vine of God, and the Father is the husbandman, the one who cares for the vine. There were a lot of husbandmen before God is mentioned as a husband. As a matter of fact, we have it listed in Matthew 21, 33 to 41. There were many who were husbandmen before these parables who didn't do their job. They did not do what they were supposed to do. And they didn't care for the vines in the way that they were supposed to. All right, in Matthew 21, we hear about that. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers or husbandmen, and they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, stoned another. Again, he sent another servant, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these vine dressers? And they said to him, he will destroy these wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their season. All right, the idea here is there were vine dressers. Always there are vine dressers. A lot of times this term vine dresser or husbandman can be applied to pastors of churches because they take care of the branches. It's their responsibility to watch the branch grow, to watch it bear fruit, to nourish it, feed it, do what they can to help that branch grow and be fruitful and a blessing to the Lord. And so there are many ways the word vine dresser or husbandman can be applied here. But the true husbandman, the one who will ultimately take care of the vine and will ultimately take care of the branches, is God himself. And Jesus is the vine. And the branches are connected to the vine. You and I are connected to the vine. Now here's the picture. As God the husband is not going to trust the vine and the branches to anyone else but himself. He's not trusting it ultimately to church leaders. He is not trusting it in any way to angelic beings. The Father himself is interested in every branch bear fruit. That means every one of you. He is interested in you, whoever you are, bearing fruit. Now, one of the things that he's given you in that process is that he has given you gifts. Do you know what your gift is? Now, most people who've sat in a church for any length of time have been to a study of the gifts. And you know what your gift is, because you've worked it through and you've sought it out and you figured out, okay, you've done the homework and you've come to find out what your gift is. So then the question is, are you using the gift? Are you busy using it? What avenue has he given you to use your gift in? What ministry is it that he's called you to where you can use the gift that he's given you? Now, when that has happened, has you responded, and are you functioning there and using your gift and thus bearing fruit, not only in your life, but in helping others bear fruit in their lives as well? You see, this whole idea here is not destruction, not condemnation not judgment, but rather bearing fruit. We need to be bearing fruit. And the Father will prune the vine. And that's painful. You know, he's coming along and clipping off the stuff that would hinder the vine from growing fruit. There is nothing that is more painful than the Holy Spirit coming into your life and cutting off some portion of the flesh in your life that's keeping you from being who God wants you to be. Nothing more painful than that. Not only that, the flesh will beg to live. It will say to you, "That's all right, if you'll just let me live, I'll go to church with you on Sunday. If you let me live, I'll go to prayer meeting next week. If you just kind of look the other way and let me be, I'll even perhaps invite somebody over for dinner in your name." But you see, the flesh will beg to live. It wants to live. It doesn't want to die. But where it needs to go is to the cross. Because there it is put to death. And to the degree that the self-life in you and I is put to death, to that degree, our spiritual life grows. If our flesh is not being put to death, if we're not denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, then our spiritual life is going to be weak. There'll be no power. There will be no clear understanding of God's will and direction. The idea here is he's going to prune us. He's going to cleanse the vine. He's going to get much fruit from it. And it will be you and I who will bear the fruit as he does this work in our life daily and as a church and as individuals. Now listen, let's be careful. The branches do not produce the fruit. They do not produce the life that bears the fruit. The life comes from the vine. Out through the branches to the fruit. The branches, particularly, are there to be channels through which the power of God and the life of God daily is expressed, and it begins to bear fruit for others to see. You become the branches who prop up the fruit as the Spirit does his work. Each branch is a part of the vine. It is not the vine. Don't get them too mixed up. All right? The branches, life is in the vine, and we being in the vine are to hold up the fruit. There must be a union between the branch and the vine before there will be any fruit. And that is what Jesus is talking about. Can't be any fruit without the union. It has to be there. So the great theme here is fruit bearing. Jesus is saying just before he goes to the cross, just before he dies and goes into that tomb, before he comes out of that tomb and ascends to the Father in heaven, before he does all of that, he is saying, you are to be fruitful vines for God. And I will send the Spirit, when I ascend to the Father, to live within you, and I'll put my life in you, and you will bear fruit for the Father. Now, there's two kinds of branches mentioned here, and they're in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Well, you thought because you were the good branch and that you were bearing fruit that you were going to have an easy life. I've got news for you. You know how you get patience? And you have to have it every day of your life. You get patience through testing. It doesn't come any other way. Do you know how you get love? It is through the testing of your faith and your walk with God and your ability to love someone who's unlovely by the power of the Spirit of God. None of this stuff comes without pain and growth and pruning that God will do in the life. Now, there is a branch here, he says, that's not bearing fruit. There's a branch that bears fruit. Most expositors, and I will give this to them, but I don't agree with them, and I'll kind of tell you why in a moment. All right? Most expositors believe verse 2 means that the Lord takes the branch away in judgment. I don't accept this, and the reason I don't accept it is because if you look at the verse in the Greek language, it does not say take away. What it does say, and you look it up when you get home, you go to your Greek whatever, lexicon or whatever you use to look up the word, you look at these words, take away, you look at the Greek word here, here's what it says. He raises it up. Now here's the picture. The husbandman is going down along, checking the vines, checking the fruit, and all of a sudden he looks down, and here is a branch in the dirt. And it's not bearing any fruit. He doesn't take his clippers and say, well, you be gone, clip, gone, and throw away. He raises it up out of the dirt. He props it up so that the sunshine can get to it, so that the rain can get to it, so that it is nourished, so that it will bear more fruit. That's what that means. It's unfortunate that the English language struggles over some of these words because it doesn't mean taking away in judgment, which is what most of you have been taught or believed. It means he cares for you. It means he takes you and finds you in the dirt and he picks you up, he cleanses you off, he prunes you, and he puts you right up there in the sunshine where you can begin to bear fruit. You know how many Christians I've met over the years over this one little verse were totally discouraged, were totally feeling like I'm useless, I'm not bearing any fruit, and God's just going to throw me away. Not so. That's not what this says. It says he's going to get a hold of you, and he'll do whatever it takes to get a hold of you, and then he's going to clean you, and he's going to prune you, and he's going to raise you up so that the sunshine can come on you and favor you, and the rain can nourish you, and you will begin to bear fruit. He's not going to leave you to yourself. He promised that. All right? Now listen, I want to be clear so we don't have any misunderstanding. I believe that there's no question that the New Testament teaches that Christians can die before their job is done. All right? They are taken home in discipline because of a failure to submit to the Lord and to walk with him in the way that they should. You have this with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. You have it with a young man in 1 Corinthians 5. You have it in 1 John 5:16. And then you have it in 1 Corinthians 11:30, where Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sin had caused problems. People refused to submit to the will of God. People still following in the flesh, still walking in the flesh. And the Lord says, if they don't turn in a period of time, he has shown that he will discipline some by taking them home in death early. It happens. It happened at the early church. It'll happen today. I do not believe that it is what Jesus is talking about here, this taking home, however, of individuals early. I believe that what he's talking about here is fruit bearing. The focus is on what do we have to do to get fruit from this branch. God the Father speaking with God the Son and the Holy Spirit saying, what is needed here to get this branch to bear fruit? And then they will do what it takes. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away. The primary meaning is to raise up, not to take away. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he raises up. That's how it should be read. Now, what's the purpose of the husbandman? To go through the vineyard looking for fruit. All right? And then he finds that branch on the ground in the dirt. So he raises it up. Some Christians don't bear fruit. What's the matter with them? They need to have the sun shining on them. S-O-N, the sun shining into their hearts. They really do. When a believer is out of fellowship with God, is occupied with the things of the world, he is not bearing fruit. The husbandman must come along, lift the branch, raise it up, bring the individual believer back into fellowship in order that he or she might begin to bear fruit again. God's purpose is to gather fruit, not to render judgment here. So let's get that straight and be encouraged and grow. Now look at verse 3. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken unto you. When the husband comes to the branch that's not bearing fruit, he examines it. Oftentimes he cuts it, prunes it, and he finds something that's hindering the fruit. And what does he do? Well, he cleanses the vine. Some say he prunes the vine. The word prune here and the word cleanse here are the same, have the same meaning. And what it means is that of the process of cleaning the vine, making it clean and pure. And how does he do that? The scripture says he does it through the word. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I don't know if you have caught this or not, but John gives a great deal of time and space to the Word of God through this study of the book of John. We see that. One, in chapter 5, we're supposed to believe the Word of God. And if I were to ask you, you'd probably all put your hand up and say, yes, I believe the Word of God. Secondly, in chapter 8, we're to abide in the Word. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that I need to study it. I need to spend time in it, not just read it, but study it. A workman, rightly proven to be rightly, how should I put the words? You learning what it means, rightly dividing it. That's what I was going to say. Rightly dividing it. All right? And then in chapter 14, we're told to obey the word. That's the harder part. Reading it, understanding it, the Spirit will make it known. And then he says, okay, Ken, now I want you to do this. Oops. Well, that's uncomfortable. Oh, I don't know if I can speak up. I'll be embarrassed. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. They might get mad at me. Let me tell you a little experience, and I'll close with this. But as we learn that a young man cleanses his way by taking heed according to the word. A number of years ago, I sat with a gentleman sitting in front of me, very angry young gentleman, big fella. And I'd known his family for a long, long time, and I knew him. And I knew he had one of these tempers that was just like, you hit say the wrong thing, and it just... And anyway, we're talking, and he's struggling, and he's frustrated, and he's... And I'm trying to tell him what's wrong with what he's doing in his life as he claimed to be a Christian, but there was so much going wrong there that wasn't right. And I was trying to explain that to him. And, you know, pastors have to tell the truth, right? Well, he's asking me, but yet he's not wanting to hear what I want to say and what I have to say. And I could see, starting at the collar, his face starting to turn red, and it's slowly creeping up. Pretty soon his whole face is red in rage, and he stands up, and I'm sitting behind a desk, and it isn't a very big desk, not one of those wide ones where he's way away from me. He stood up. He was over me. He was right over me. He stood up, and he raised his hand up like this, and he was going to hit me. And I saw what he was going to do, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, go ahead. When I said that, the color just drained. You could see it, just like a thermometer. Color just drained. And he sat down and he was shaking. He was just shaking. God's word is powerful. And when we speak it in truth and in love, I love this kid. I knew him from the time he was a little kid, and he was a problem from the day he was born. He was. He'll tell you that. He's walking with the Lord today, but he'll tell you that. His whole life was one of rebellion until he became a young man, ended up in prison for robbing a store, and then came out and got married, and the marriage fell apart. Just one thing after another, and here he was now sitting in front of me. Telling him the truth was dangerous, but telling him the truth was the only answer. How is he ever going to know how to cleanse his way if he doesn't hear the truth, the word of God? And that's what the scripture says. So as the vine is filled with life, you, the branches, are filled with that same life. If you happen to be down in the dirt, call out to him. He'll pick you up. He'll cleanse you off. He'll prune you. And he will let the sun shine on you. And the Spirit of God will favor you. And your life will be blessed, even in the midst of your trials and your struggles. I am the vine, he said. Don't think you are. You can do nothing without me. He said that very clear. You trying to live your Christian life without him? Forget it. Doesn't work. You trying to love people that are unlovely without God's love? Forget it. It won't work. You'll get frustrated and eventually get bitter. You trying to tell others about Jesus Christ when you really fully are not trusting him yourself? Forget it. It's not going to work. You have to be like the Seahawk fans. You have to be all in. Yes, you do. You have to be all in with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just a branch. He's the vine. That connection, that union is a must. And then life will flow through you, and you will bear fruit, and God will bless you. And others will eat of that fruit and be healed. That's the promise of God. Let us bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this picture that you've given us. Your son is the vine and the branches, the fruit, and how you will deal with us lovingly and gently and cleanse us and prune us and bear fruit through our lives. Help us to do a self-examination this morning. Challenge ourselves and allow your spirit to challenge us as we wait upon you to make us truly heavy fruit bearers in the rest of the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.